Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily lectionary, and our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor Robert Frank from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Frank.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
Well, Duluth is at the tip of Lake Superior here in northern Minnesota. When I got the call here, the call document said the climate was a rugged four-season climate. We do have a nice long winters. In fact, we still have over 2 feet of snow on the ground and tall snowbanks, but it's starting to warm up a little bit. But
the church is
a nice church, a nice traditional church. We've been here in Duluth for 80-some years and worship in a building that's over 100 years old. So
wow. Well, very good, very good. And we are studying Mark chapter 10 today, verses 1 through 12. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Very good. Well, are we ready to take a look at the text?
Go ahead.
Before we dig into that, any background you want to give us on the text?
Well, not too much other than what's in there. Maybe we just begin. I think in verse... Yeah, it's a little bit of a transition as Jesus heads now towards Jerusalem, but the antagonism of the Pharisees, I think, is key to the question that they're raising with him here.
Antagonism. That sounds like a fun word that we can unpack in a little bit here. Well, I want to invite our listeners, if you have questions today, you can join the conversation. The phone number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. Well, let's take a look. I'll read some of the text, and then we'll unpack it a few verses at a time. So Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, "And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again and again, and his custom as he taught them, as was his custom. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?' And he answered them, 'What did Moses command you?' They said, 'Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away.'" Let's pause there.
Yeah.
So, he left there and went on to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again and again, as was his custom, he taught them. So, Jesus teaches the people.
Right. It's part of, you know, throughout his ministry, he was healing, but also teaching them about the gospel, about the salvation that he had come to accomplish.
So how was he regarded as by the people?
Well, you know, it were large crowds that were coming to him. Many of them were coming simply because of the miracles that he was performing, and those were, of course, signs to reveal who he was. Some were just merely coming for the miracles, as we see, but others came and heard what he had to teach and responded to him as much as they did to John the Baptist, responding to his message of repentance and forgiveness.
And the Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?"
Why? Yeah, this is not just a simple question. This is, you know, the goal of this is to put Jesus on the spot, so to speak. And we have Pharisees testing Jesus elsewhere, trying to trick him to answer something that would reduce his popularity or give them some ammunition in a later, you know, as they tried to oppose him, ended up taking him to the trial with Pontius Pilate. But you know, they were trying to trick him, and that was the goal here.
And they go for marriage and divorce.
Yeah.
Anything significant about that?
Well, there was a debate amongst the people because, as Jesus pointed out, Moses allowed divorce under certain circumstances, but there was a little bit of debate about what the circumstances were. Some teachers had a more strict interpretation of the law, and others had a more lax interpretation of that law. But and marriage and divorce, then as now, is a sticky issue. So I think that they were maybe trying to get Jesus' say something that would reduce his popularity. A lot of their opposition was envy over the fact that Jesus was bringing a lot of people to hear him, and more than perhaps they could gather.
So he's getting a lot more attention than they are, as you said. He's gathering more listeners and teaching more people than the Pharisees are. So they're trying to corner him, and they bring up this, as you said, very sticky topic of divorce.
Yeah, I think that, well, you know, certainly divorce is more prevalent today, but again, you know, mm-hmm. with people, you know, it's hard to deal with that issue without raising people's ire one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?"
Right, going back to the law of Moses. That was what Jesus often did, is he tried to, well, what is in the law? What is in the law? What is there? And their response was that this was allowed for a man to divorce his wife and send her away.
Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment."
Right. This was within the law of God. This was not part of God's intent, but rather part of a recognition of sin. I mean, divorce is a consequence of sin in this world. It's not part of God's intent and not part of God's plan. And really, divorce, even in the law of Moses, was there as a, not an allowance for sin, but a protection for people, even in a sinful world.
And so Jesus says, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.
So instead of dealing, you know, he didn't fall into the trap so much as say, well, that wasn't quite what I was looking for. What is God's intent for marriage? What is the gift? You know, what is marriage, and what does God want to bring within marriage? Mm-hmm. That's where Jesus wanted to take them, to show them God's creation of marriage, and again, what God wants to provide and give, and what marriage truly is. And that's where Jesus
and
different from the Pharisees.
And is he quoting in verse 5? Is he quoting scripture?
Because, yeah, he's going back right to Genesis, right to the very beginning, when mm-hmm. God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and why God created them as male and female, and why God, what purposes God created marriage to be.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So it's... A man leaves his father and mother. He leaves his nuclear family, if you will. He leaves his parents and goes and holds fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh.
One new unit in God's sight. A family that is there, blessed by God and given a great, the great gift of his presence, and even in the creation, God had in his mind the you know, it doesn't mention here, but Ephesians 5 is a great example of the purpose, that one of the purposes that God has in marriage, to show and picture the relationship of Christ and the church within even human marriage.
And that's helpful. That was what I was going to get at today. What are some other texts that point us to marriage, that Jesus is describing here today?
Right. Let's see. There's Ephesians 5 is a key passage. You know, Genesis, some of the other passages, but I think in Ephesians 5, we see how wives and husbands live together with one another in modeling, a relationship that depicts Christ and his church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. The husband should love their wives just as Christ loves the church, nourishes and cherishes it, because we are members of his body. So kind of a picture of the church that we have. That's one reason why divorce is such a terrible tragedy, is it's tearing apart what God put together, what God intended as an image of his people. God and his people is in the image of a marriage is another aspect that is seen in many Old Testament passages. Mm-hmm. And the people's idolatry and leaving God behind is an image of unfaithfulness within marriage and a splitting apart in marriage that is so looked down upon and condemned by the prophets.
As you mentioned earlier, it's a very sticky subject. It's a sensitive issue today because it's so common in our culture. I think it's a very sensitive issue. But I think you're getting at the heart of the matter. It's not what God designed. It's not what God wants for his people. He wants marriage to be as he has designed it. This one flesh, that where the two become one and remain in him and enjoy the gifts that he's given.
Exactly. And one thing that I often say in my premarital counseling too is that. Comparing marriage as a sacrament. Marriage doesn't bring about the forgiveness of sins, but it brings about the need for forgiveness of sins, because when we live within marriage, that's one aspect of marriage that we have in a sinful world, that it brings out our own sinfulness very, very, very clearly as we live in a close, intimate relationship with another person.
The faithful pastor who officiated at our wedding, very clearly stated at the beginning of the sermon, today, you marry another sinner.
Exactly.
But he went on to point out that we are united in Christ, and so practicing forgiveness based on the forgiveness that we have received in Christ Jesus is the only way that a marriage can sustain in this world.
Right.
We are studying Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12 today with Pastor Robert Frank from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota. If you have questions today and you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we study the daily lectionary today. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll get back into the text in Mark chapter 10 with Pastor Frank. Stick around for more His Time right after this break.
It is a hymn that clearly proclaims the Lutheran Reformation teaching that we are saved by grace through faith alone without any works on our part. And we will examine that hymn assigned for the fourth Sunday in Lent on the next Long Gospel with our co-host, the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
A U.S.-based conservative group that supports Russia's efforts to curtail gay rights and abortion is suspending its plans for an international conference in Moscow this September because of the turmoil related to Russia's annexation of Crimea from Ukraine. The World Congress of Families says the uncertain political situation has raised questions about travel, logistic, and other matters essential to planning for the conference. Communications Director Don Fetter says the group supports Russia's ban on gay propaganda that kids could access.
Children should not be propagandized for alternative sexual lifestyles.
He notes that Russians still define marriage as the union of a man and a woman.
They don't engage in the absurdity of saying that two men or two women can marry, unlike the United States.
A statement by the World Congress of Families says, at a time when Western governments are moving backward to a pagan worldview, Russia has taken a leadership role. I'm Steve Coleman.
The greatest story ever told now comes to life in a whole new way.
We heard about an unusual rabbi.
Lamplighter Theater presents Titus, a comrade of the cross.
Jesus Christ! Ah! This blasphemer must die!
Take courage. It is I.
Titus, a comrade of the cross, on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Robert Frank from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota. We're in Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. If you have questions today, you can join the conversation, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions to KFUO at KFUO.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into the text. Listening around the globe today, 23 U.S. states, including Lancaster, Los Angeles, and Burney, California, and 11 countries, including El Salvador, Congo, and Albania. So thanks for listening around the globe to our worldwide listeners. Pastor, your thoughts on the text so far, anything that you want to share based on what we've read thus far, verses, what, 1 through about 9, I believe?
Yeah. Well, maybe it'd be good to read the last few verses. It's a short text today, but
that it is.
Read the last verse and then go back, because there are a couple of overall comments to talk about too. But
sure, and that last verse, I think, is going to that might take a little while.
Okay.
go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing I think, and we'll get this too in these last verses, but you know, one thing that you often hear Jesus or the Bible accused of as being oppressive of women and so on. And I think both even the law of Moses, you know, the divorce that was allowed under circumstances, and also Jesus' words. I mean, he lifted women up and supported them, and that's a little bit more in the later verses we see that there. But that was one thing I thought that be good to take note of.
Sure. Well, verse 10, and in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.
Well, this is one example of what I was just talking about, that you know, for the Pharisees, their perspective was all centered on the man and the husband and his rights and his abilities to divorce his wife on given what situation that might be appropriate or not, and they did have some debate about that. But the fact that Jesus points out that divorcing your wife and is actually committing adultery against her, that is something that was not even in their minds. You know, for the Pharisees, if you had an affair with another man's wife, you were committing adultery against him, against your fellow Israelite whose wife you were having an affair with. But a woman could commit adultery against her husband by having an affair, but that mistreating your wife in this way was committing adultery against her. That was something that was just not even thought of by the Pharisees. This is an example of how Jesus was, you know, not going along with the culture in the examples of their oppression of women, or the law of Moses, where people, husbands could just abandon their wives and not even take care of them. He required them, even when a situation did allow for divorce, to treat them fairly and. So that's one thing I thought of as I was looking at text.
Sure. Well, in the previous paragraph, you know, the Pharisees are pressing with the question, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answers them clearly in verses 6 through, well, 5 through 8. You know, because of your hardness of heart, you know, Moses wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one. He clearly teaches that marriage is a gift from God, and this is what is intended. It's not to be taken lightly.
Right.
And then in verse 10, they press him again, and in the house the disciples ask him again about this matter. And he said to them, now here we see it says the disciples asked him. It's not before it says the Pharisees.
Right. They wanted a little bit of clarification to
this. What's that?
They wanted more clarification about what Jesus was actually teaching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And so, Jesus says to them, he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Right.
And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.
That's interesting, too, because that was not, I guess that wasn't even typically thought of by the Pharisees. I don't even think women had the right to initiate divorce against their husbands. It's both ways. A husband and a wife are both committing to one another, and they can, and they have similar responsibilities. You know, it wasn't unheard of. You know, and maybe this is an example of Jesus speaking to the sin within the culture of the time, because, well, we know that Herod Antipas had taken the wife of his brother Herod Philip. Herodias was her name. She was her instigation to abandon her first husband and marry Herod Antipas. And so, in a sense, you know, that speaking out to that sin within the culture cost John the Baptist his. He was in prison and then ultimately executed. But Jesus is willing to speak out against a similar situation here.
What can we learn from this text? Obviously, in our culture, in the civil realm, in the United States of America, laws regarding marriage and divorce, well, they seem to be changing from time to time. But one can marry, one can divorce, really without a whole lot of grief in some sense. I mean,
right.
You can, in most states, yes, you have to get a marriage license prior to the wedding, but in order to marry, it really doesn't take a whole lot of, there aren't a lot of prerequisites, really.
Yeah.
And then same for divorce.
A whole lot of thought.
Right. And same for divorce.
Right.
In many cases.
Well, our laws changed where divorce became a much more acceptable alternative and an easy alternative, where even there wasn't the need to give any kind of reason or fault for divorce. Just say, well, I don't want to be married anymore. That's really a lowering of what marriage is, and it's sad that you can, in some ways, get out of marriage a lot easier than any other kind of agreement or contract within the society. It's really a sad thing, because it's going way against what God's intent for marriage was and the gift that marriage is, both for individuals and particularly for the children that are born within that. The effects of divorce on children is just a terrible thing, and we see that happening, and the effects of that happening as that ripples throughout our culture.
And so what does this text, we know that God's word is not just stuck in a specific, it's not only applicable to just one group of people in one time.
Right.
What does God's word mean for us? What does this text teach us today?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the importance and the great gift that marriage is to us from God, and to take it likewise, and that divorce and is something that is contrary to God's word. There are very few, there are some exceptions given, allowances for divorce, particularly within a sinful world. And adultery is committed. That's one exception that Jesus mentions, that he even allows for divorce. But it's not always, not even then, it's not a necessary thing. It's abandonment is another example.
Sure. We live in a sinful world, so we're never going to be free of sin in this flesh, correct?
Exactly.
In this world.
Exactly. But we deal with sin as Jesus did, with forgiveness and understanding and compassion, and yet hold up the ideal that marriage is, and it's a great gift. It's also a hard work to love and to live within marriage, and it is an effort. I think that's why divorce has become more prevalent, is that people don't want to put in the effort to remain married and to live in that close connection with another sinful person.
Do you think we view marriage differently today than just what marriage is in and of itself, than how God designed it, or than even how it was viewed in the time that the scriptures were written?
Well, I think a lot of people go into marriage thinking, what am I going to get out of marriage, versus what can I bring to marriage, or what can I, how can I serve this other person? How can I help and be of service to this person? What we're bringing to marriage. I tell young people who are not married and are desirous to be married, I say, well, one of the best ways to prepare yourself for marriage is to look at yourself and see what ways you can be the kind of person that you can bring to a marriage, and not so much try to find the right person, So that's, I think, a key thing. And the fact that we have lost God's purposes for marriage, I think, is another reason why even the whole issue of same-sex marriage, for example, people don't understand what marriage truly is. And because of that, then changing what marriage is, what divorce is, I mean, that all flows out of a fact of not realizing God's intent for marriage and what he put into it.
So marriage, as you've said, marriage is all about making me happy.
Yeah.
And so therefore, when I'm no longer happy, then this marriage no longer needs to exist.
Exactly.
That's kind of, I think, that's what our culture has, what our culture understands marriage to be. Now, obviously, that's not what God's word would have marriage to be, and that's not what God would have marriage to be.
Right.
But thanks be to God that he teaches us in his word, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, he works in us too, and blesses our marriages and our unions that God has given us as husband and wife. Let's go to
forgiveness for our own failures, even.
Right. So that we can, in that forgiveness, we can forgive one another too, and bear with one another in our difficulties and our burdens, and show that love of Christ to one another.
Right.
Let's go to Mike on the listener lines. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great. What's your question today?
Well, you sound optimistic at this time of the morning. No, I was listening to what you guys were saying, but back then, I mean, women were economically dependent upon men, so, I mean, if a guy divorced his wife, she would have to find another man for her survival. So it's kind of a little bit different thing than today,
So culturally, there were certainly some differences in terms of how women were a part of society and what they were dependent on. They were dependent on either a husband or others to provide for them because working outside the home wasn't as common then. Thanks for your point, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think I think that's one reason why, like I said, I mentioned the care that was given to women by the Mosaic Law and also by Jesus here. And I don't think that this is a prohibition of, if there's a divorce that happens, Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about marriage and even remarriage, and it's not prohibited, but it's just a realization that this is what's happening and it's happening as a result of sin. So mm-hmm. We recognize that and are realizing that, I think.
Sure, it happens because of sin, and because we will always in this flesh carry around in us the old Adam.
Exactly.
And what do we do with that old Adam?
We put it to death in baptism and mm-hmm. And live the new life that God leads us to.
Amen to that. Well, Pastor, any other thoughts on today's text as we looks like we've gotten to the end of the text for today. Any other thoughts on that for us?
No, I think those are the main things. I mean, sometimes we focus on the law, and this, they are harsh words about what divorce truly is. Those aren't meant as words of, piling on law on sinful and guilty people, but pointing out what sin truly is, what sin truly does. But as all law, its ultimate intent is to take us back to Christ and to point us to the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus and in repentance, living a life that is as well as we can, according to God's original intent.
Amen. Well, thanks be to God for all that He has done for us, especially going to the cross so that we might live in that forgiveness and in hope of the resurrection.
Yes.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Robert Frank from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota. Pastor Frank, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today on His Time.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
God's blessings to you and the saints there at Mount Olive.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll enjoy sacred music and then morning prayer coming up right after the top of the hour. Stick around for more His Time right after this.